Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Teacher and Medium, and author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Today I welcome Doug Hayes, author of The Touch, a beautifully written and inspiring book, who will share how to access, channel, and use energy for personal healing and facilitating healing in others, centered on his practice of RAM healing. Hello, Doug, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Doug, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I share our experiences and insights into the world of metaphysical realities and possibilities, showing us that we are beings of a high energetic force and also physical matter. And by acknowledging this duality, we can find greater awareness of self, the world, and universal laws, and create lives that are purposeful, rewarding, and happy. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Doug will share his near-fatal accident and his healing process, which centers on Radiance Aesthesia Method, developed from a synthesis of interwoven principles and techniques ranging from Qigong, Tai Chi, Kung Fu, breathwork, prayer, shamanic wisdom, Eastern, Western, and botanical medicine, spiritual psychology, and quantum theory. And it really takes delving into many different areas to come up with the truth about how to be in this world, and not so much interested in doing as becoming the beautiful souls that we already are. And these practices just help that discovery. Doug, I always love to begin each show by asking my guests to think back to their childhood and either a person or a place or event that may have shown either them or others their goals that led them to the work, lifestyle, and to the adult that they have become. So for a minute, just think back to earlier days.
Well, I can remember right from the very beginning. It's almost like I was born into this experience, and my early training, religious experience, if you will, came out of metaphysics. I was raised in Christian Science and Religious Science, and so that's been my orientation right from the beginning. Probably the thing that comes most to mind when I think of the very earliest demonstrations are when my dog ran away, and we had this beautiful German Shepherd named Duke, who was actually a descendant of Rin Tin Tin, and he disappeared one day, and my family went into a panic. And you know, later on I understood, it's like, you know, how do we explain what's happening to the children? And, you know, they're actually trying to comfort me and take care of me. And, you know, it's the all dogs go to heaven conversation almost right from the get-go. And I had absolutely no doubt right from the beginning that Duke was coming home. It was 3 days later when he came home wagging his tail, and he'd just been off somewhere on his own little adventure. And came right back to the house, and first thing he did was start drinking water out of the pool. So he had a big a big adventure and a big trip. But I had a certainty, even though, you know, I was 3 years old at the time, that he was coming back. And as you asked me that question, that's the first story or first image that popped into my mind, was the image of Duke coming home with his tongue hanging out and his tail wagging, and it's like, I'm home. And I knew right from the beginning that he was coming home.
So, I think many of the guests on this show in their childhood have known something and not bought into the principles about death, and have known that as energetic beings, consciousness survives death. And even though we couldn't articulate it as children, we knew that we were being protected, or that things would go right, or that even if they didn't, that it was okay, that there was a bigger plan, and we were more than our physical body. So I think you knew that too.
And I think that we should all learn to listen more to that that voice within us, because we do know that resides within us. Our inner knowledge, our inner knowing is always present. And many of us have experiences right from the very beginning in early childhood, long before, as I sometimes say, we were able to defend ourselves. That began to contract that that awareness within ourselves, and we begin to buy into the narrowed picture of our reality. And we begin to believe that our reality is confined within those lines that seem to become increasingly narrow by the amount of invalidation or such that we face. And I've always known, even though I've walked through a lot of fire, a lot of conflict, I've certainly crossed a lot of barriers and obstructions, that that was always there, and that I was always being guided and directed, even in the moments that seemed like I was the most lost.
Yeah, I think the most evolved souls have these harder experiences because they are able to go through them and refine their soul to a higher level. And I always say to people who I deal with in my Reiki practice that when they're dealing with something, it will lead to something very positive if they allow themselves to flow through it and not think in terms of our mind or our ego or our fears or our limitations, but to go into our soul energy and to know that all is well and we'll be in this moment, and this moment will soon be gone. So that's what you were just saying so beautifully, and thank you very much for that. Now let's go to the touch and your healing system, RAM Healing, which came out of your real life experience. And can you tell us about that?
As you mentioned, and I know we're in a limited time frame, so I don't want to go too deep into my story, but I did have what some have referred to as a miraculous healing from a spinal cord injury, which paralyzed me from the neck down and rendered me unable to move, feel, or breathe. This happened while I was on patrol at a Southern California ski resort. I'm a ski patroller, have been for 20 years, and have over 500 rescues. And the fellow patrollers that showed up to manage my incident, as it happens, were all devout Christian men deeply involved with healing within their own tradition and their own faith. Something came through to me that day on the mountain, which erased my fear and made me aware that I was experiencing something that was larger than I was, that I was, in fact, being chosen, if you will, or selected, if you will, for a particular direction, a particular purpose, and that I was serving something larger than just myself. So, if you will, a contract was offered to me that day, that I would walk this walk, and that I would be healed, and that I would forever recognize that as an act of spirit, as a gift of grace. And I quickly became aware that not only was I able to receive such a message and such a healing, that I was able to transmit it. It's not exactly the right word, but perhaps facilitate that recognition in others, because it really does come down to just the flipping of a switch from fear, if you will, to love.
And you also said the power to heal is in all of us. It's a divine birthright of all human beings. You also wrote, healing is not some mysterious esoteric thing. It's as natural a part of who we are as being born, breathing, loving, dying.
Sure, I think often that we're just, we tend to do what's in front of us, and we tend to do what needs to be done, and we move through our lives in this very kind of narrow focused state that just has to do with ourselves and where we are and what we're doing. Something has to happen in order for the awakening to occur, and in order for us to come back into the realization that we are, in fact, divine beings and perfect expressions of the divine, and fulfilling the purpose or the mission that the divine plan has for us from the beginning. Or in a fewer words, what I often tell my clients is, I don't do any healing. Spirit does all the healing. We just show up for the meeting.
Yes, after we set up the environment, the person is able to make the shifts and changes in their own thinking and behaviors to take them further along on their path, and each path is different. Let's go on to, and by the way, when you were talking about your awakening after your accident and your connection to this higher energy and beginning your healing work, I felt exactly the same way when I had my first attunement as a Reiki practitioner. And
yes.
I could not explain what was happening, but I felt part of a club or a group or a universal energy that was so beautiful and loving. And I didn't quite know why I was led to it, but I was very grateful and anxious to go forward and do all I could to serve.
Yeah. Yes, I agree, and that's the contract I signed on the mountain that day. The other thing that's important, and that you just raised it, is that you had this experience through your own work with spirit and your own work with energy, and that's a point I want to emphasize. A lot of us come into this awareness by way of a trauma or an illness or a sudden shocking event in our lives, which in effect forces us to pay attention. One of my key points about this work and about the practice is that it does not have to occur that way. We don't have to go through the trauma and the pain in order to access what is naturally ours. All we have to do is go within and invite its presence, invite it to awaken within us. And it's there. It's always been there. It will always be there. It is, as my book says, our divine birthright.
But for some of us who have had no training, no spiritual training or religious training, yes, it's there. But until we begin to awaken and open our eyes and to feel, many of us are sleepwalking through this life and numb. Yeah. For some reason to awaken. And it has to be at the right time. You see, I was questioning many things in life, and as I questioned, teachers began to appear and opportunities to learn more. I guess I made this contract before I was born with spirit.
I believe that's true, too.
Actually, it took a long time for it to really begin. But what I'm saying to people, it's never too late. Whenever it happens, you are able, if you are able and if you are willing to accept this journey forward, it is a very rewarding journey, and it is a very truthful journey, and it is a path, perhaps not for everybody in this particular time and place, but for many more than actually choose to go forward. So we're saying everyone's offered this chance, but not everybody can get beyond the fear.
I agree. One of my great teachers used to say, if God told you exactly what it was that you were to do, you would be happy doing it no matter what it was. What you're doing is what God wants you to do. Be happy.
Right. And I think nothing's random. I think we are born with a life plan and destiny for our soul to remember who we are, and then to, we have free will to make the choice either to live more in the physical world or to live in the spiritual world. But I find if you live in both, you're going to do much better than just one or the other. Whatever path they choose is the right path for them at this moment.
I sometimes articulate that as this is not where I'm from, this is not where I'm going, but this is where I am.
I love that. I love that. So now you came, Doug, out of a successful career in show business. We have a little coincidence here. My daughter was a successful child actress, and I have many careers, and I believe all of them have always been to serve and to help people, because I have a really a loving, helpful nature. But she was a successful child, and now she She's in publishing, but still meeting with very creative people and helping people get their books published. But what changed your course and led you into the healing arts?
Right. It really was the event and the events that followed from that that changed my course. And I do want to say that, you know, you're talking to an original member of the cast of The Twilight Zone. My first job in show business was when I was 3 years old, directed by my dad. But what I do recognize is that all of those steps, my work as an actor, my work as a writer and producer, all of that served as, in, if you will, as a training ground for the work that I'm doing now. I'm still accessing and still using the same tools that I learned as a performer and as a writer of fiction. The difference between that work and The Touch is my first nonfiction. It comes directly from my heart, directly from my experience, and also contains, I believe, some of my very best work, some of my very best writing. I have no clearer experience about this work than that it was guided, that it was, in fact, flowing through me as opposed to coming from me.
Absolutely. And tell us about the very first time you transmitted healing to another person.
Thank you. I had been to Loma Linda, which is the premier trauma center in Southern California, and I was there for about a week. And I began to have a parade of visitors. You know, my friends from the mountain, my family and friends all came to see me, and they would come in with these looks of just horror on their faces, like, oh my God, the worst thing ever has happened to Doug. And then they would come into my room and find me all lit up in this state of grace and this awareness that this magnificent unfolding awakening was taking place. And I would share with them the story of what has come to be known as the miracle on the mountain. And I would see how just the communication of that story would change them, that would change their perception. And they would come in, as I said, just all bound up in the fear and the horror of what had happened. And they would leave with smiles on their faces and their eyes wide open, recognizing that something indeed great was happening and that I was going to be all right. About a week into my stay at Loma Linda, 15 docs, including the chief of neurosurgery there, surrounded my bed and recommended a 3-level spinal fusion, to which I said, you know, I think I recognize that something truly miraculous is taking place right now, and I'd like to give my recovery a chance before I give you guys the consent to open up my neck and staple my spine together in 3 places. About an hour later, I got my walking papers from the hospital. It's like, if you're not going to stay here, then, and I use the term walking papers loosely at the time because I really wasn't. But if you're not going to stay here, then we need your bed. And within the hour, I was out of Loma Linda, and they actually handed me a clipboard with a list of hospitals on it saying, okay, where do you want to go? And I had no idea. So I spun my finger around in the air and dabbed it onto the page, and it landed on Daniel Freeman Hospital in Inglewood. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but Daniel Freeman had what was probably the second-rated spinal rehab unit in North America, at the time second only to Johns Hopkins. And that's just another, you know, brief example of spirit lighting the way.
Sometimes we need to say no to a doctor because we have an intuitive sense of what's better for us. And I had a similar story. I had a bump in my right thigh. This was last year. And since my sister had been ill with cancer, I kind of figured I should have it checked. So I went to a dermatologist, and he removed it, making really strange marks with this heavy black thread, which I didn't feel good about. And when I returned in 2 weeks, he came in with another doctor, and he said, you know what? We need to make 2 more cuts. So I said to him, why? Is it cancer? So he said, no, but we don't know what it is, whether it's just scar tissue or maybe a fungus you picked up. So I said, well, if it was that, how would you treat it? So he said, with an antibiotic. So I said, so you want to make 2 more slashes on my leg? And I said, I'm an intuitive healer. I came to you to be prudent, but this is not right. And I walked out,
right,
just like you.
Yeah. And not the first doctor I've walked out on since then. And I also do want to emphasize that I worked in emergency care for 20 years and have, I don't have an us and them mentality about Western medicine, Eastern medicine, alternative medicine, whatever. I believe that they're all tools in our kit for healing, and sometimes Western medicine has a great deal of value. So, and I've also received an excellent level of care in that area. And so I want to emphasize, I don't preach that mentality. In other words, it's not this way or that way. It's how we're guided to best deal with our situation.
You also wrote, "I'm just a regular guy and not a particularly religious one, but these experiences have opened my eyes and made it possible to never close them again." So this is part of our soul maturing and growing up, to be able to speak up with truth when we know what's right for ourselves. And we want our listeners out there to know it's okay. Mostly we want to say yes to experiences. We want to say yes when opportunities come in so we can have them. But once in a while, it's really okay to say no to an authority. They don't always know what's best. So let's go to how is your book different from all other guides out there?
Well, if I may, because you'd asked me the question about how did that come into my awareness and into my practice of healing, and I think that there's a short chapter of that I'd like to share, if that's all right.
Sure, go ahead.
Which is essentially what happened after I got to Daniel Freeman. I was in this state, and I was sitting in the garden. They have a beautiful garden outside with these banyan trees, and the light is streaming through the banyan trees. I'm sitting there with my friend Vicky, who I've known since I was in my teens, and her husband Michael had died 5 years earlier from melanoma. And the last year of their lives together, as the disease ran its course, just became something of a horror show of pain and suffering and hostility and rage and resentment and all of that. I mean, just the full spectrum of, you know, what we might call negative human emotion. And by the time Michael died, yeah, it was a tragedy, young man dying and all of that. But at the same time, it was something of a relief. And I'm sitting there in the garden with Vicky and telling her the story of what had happened on the mountain. And I said, "I now know that there are angels in this world, and some of them wear red jackets with white crosses on them. And now I know that there are six angels that I can name," meaning the six guys on the hill that put their hands on me. And as I'm reaching this point in the conversation, I had a sudden feeling that someone else had joined with us. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Vicky and I said, "And there's one more angel, Vicky, and it's Michael, and he's here," her husband. And for the next half hour or so, I had the experience for the first time of literally channeling a conversation between someone in this world and someone in the next world. And what they got to do was heal and clear all of that madness and pain from the last year. They got to forgive each other. They got to forgive themselves. And they got to say, "I love you," one more time. As I came out of it, and it was, again, it was just almost like someone flipping a switch, Vicky asked me, "Do you know what just happened?" And I said, "Yes, I do, but I don't have a context for it. I've never had an experience like this before." And so we wound up hugging and saying goodbye. I went back up to my room that night. I was just before bed. I had the same experience again of that same energetic presence. It wasn't an apparition, but it was an energetic presence. The same one that was in the garden, and Michael told me something. It was very specific, that he wanted me to tell his wife. And it was so specific, in fact, I thought maybe I'm just crazy, which on any given day is a possibility. And it took me about a full day until I was just about ready to go to bed the next night, and I called Vicky and I said, "Vicky, Michael came to see me again last night, and he wants me to tell you something." And she's like, "Yes, what is it?" And I said, "He told me he wants you to reread the letter that he wrote you when the two of you first found out that he was terminal, the one you keep in the box under the bed." And Vicky lost it on the phone. She says, "Oh, my God, I know exactly the letter that you mean. I do keep it in a box under the bed. I haven't been able to read that letter for years, but for the very first time after what happened in the garden, I came home, I took that letter out, and I read it again for the first time. Now, this was Spirit tapping me on the shoulder and saying, just in case you think any of this is a coincidence, pay attention.
It's not. It was time for you to do this work. And it's like when I started getting messages for people, it took me a year fighting between myself. Am I going to reveal some of these things? Or you know,
right.
As a very almost skeptic myself, and being raised in a family that was not into spiritual work, it was
right.
hard for me to grasp. But once I did, and once I accepted the responsibility, and once one of my teachers said to me, Cheryl, you are a medium and you have the responsibility to do this, that was it. I never doubted
right.
it again. It is a great, beautiful gift, and thank you for sharing that. I think you're
right.
wonderful. But let's just please tell us
sure.
what... Please let's tell the readers who will read your book what you want them to take away with them after reading The Touch.
More than anything, I want them to come away from The Touch with a practice. And the practice that's contained within The Touch, which centers around ROM healing, the Radiant Synesthesia Method, which, as you say, is a synthesis of principles and practices. It's very simply done. It's very easy to access, and you can begin to see results with it right away. We're combining things like working with the breath and imagination and concentration, focus, hands-on energy work, chakra work, all of that sort of thing. And the results that I've seen, there is at least a dozen demonstration stories in the book that sort of support the practice. But mostly the message from the book and the takeaway message from this conversation is to support our evolution, and particularly to support our relationships with one another, with this planet, and with humanity as a whole, on this planet, and we'd have to be blind not to notice that we're in a time of great crisis. We're in a time of great upheaval. Now more than ever, we need a practice. We need a personal practice. This practice not only allows us to access this source that resides within ourselves, but it allows us to facilitate that realization in others. And it's almost like the exercise where if I take my candle and I light the candle of two other people, and they turn and light the candles of two people each, and those four people each turn and light two more candles for each one of them, the light will travel around the world and touch everyone in the world within 33 days. And so the power and potential, the transformative potential that we have in this time of apparent great crisis and upheaval is beyond our imagination.
Yes.
And all we have to do is ask for it and open ourselves to it.
Absolutely.
And more as I look around, I see us all waking up to that fact.
Absolutely. Well said. Finally, if we are very observant, we're going to begin to know who we are, each of us, divine souls, magnificent in our wisdom and our capacity to love, and we're going to heal ourselves and the world, just as you said. I want to thank you, Doug Hayes, author of The Touch, for your remarkable journey of healing and love, and the light you bring through your studies and efforts to others as they awaken to their own innate and divine talents and gifts and spark the world with new thoughts and possibilities. To purchase this book, go to Doug Hayes, Hayes, healing.com or Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have discovered that Doug's skiing accident, which paralyzed him, also offered him the opportunity to become a healer, studying with some of the world's master healers, and going back to school where he became a psychologist. Aside from his practice in spiritual coaching and RAM healing, Hayes is also a red belt and in a system known as Peaceful Mind Way. The Touch offers a guide for dedicated spiritual travelers, and as you already know or have experienced within you, We are part of a larger plan of creation. Doug wrote, "You're coming into an ever-deepening alignment with its presence and power. You find yourself clearing the debris from your field. You see the love and beauty and harmony in this world, even when it's obscured by hate and judgment and discord. You're living, loving, working, breathing better already. You're learning to master your own darkness and use it as fuel to power your light. You're consciously raising your thoughts, your words, and your total vibration in alignment with what is true, what is necessary, and what is kind. You are soul-centered. You have the capacity to hold two apparently opposed ideas in mind and recognize the validity or even the absurdity of both of them. Doug and I would have you realize in these times of worldwide chaos and change that this connection to a universal field or source of divine wisdom, love, and kindness will bring us all into a new age of healing and appreciation for life. Be true to yourself, for the answers are within you, and we will bring this goodness into the physical realm. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear authors and metaphysicians, scientists, spiritualists, and educators share the world within and create the world that awaits us in time. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you for listening.